Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler. The guest tonight is the distinguished and honorable Dr. Walter Burns. How are you, Dr. Burns?
Fine. How are you, Angela?
I'm good. I'm good. It's good to have you back on the show.
This is a good day for me. This is my birthday.
Well, happy birthday to you.
I won't
happy
tell you
birthday.
Which one.
Okay. All right.
I won't tell which one, but I'll at least admit that I'm over 39 years of age.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Well, happy birthday again, and I'm glad to have you on the show.
Thank you so very much.
Dr. Burns, you have wrote a book entitled The Use of the Concept of New Identity in Christian Counseling, Sexual Addiction in Young Men. Dr. Burns, why did you decide to write on this topic?
I was asked about October after I appeared in Griot and several other publications. I assumed that these persons saw me and saw the writing. I got a lot of calls about the writing and in the media. I got one particularly from Mr. Kevon Mathis and his partner, Dr. Michael Haynes, who is a senior chaplain for the state of Texas. Mr. Mathis is a lay and director of Destiny from the Beginning, and it's a society, and I was asked to contribute to a journal that is done, and I was asked to write from the subject, The Life, the Use of the Concept of New Identity in Christ in Counseling Sexual Addiction in Young Men. I believe that this subject was chosen for me because I worked in juvenile court as a counselor. I've headed a diversion program. I would hear the cases under a particular law that we have in Georgia and seek to divert these young men from lives of crime. I've worked as a professional counselor. I'm licensed in the state of Georgia as a marriage and family therapist. I'm a Christian pastor. I assume there are so many reasons. Of course, I can't leave out one thing that I believe sincerely. I believe that it was the will of the Almighty that I would deal with this subject. A friend of mine, a former classmate and friend, a lifetime friend, who has held some very noteworthy positions. At one time, he was president of the National Council of Churches. He sent me a little note that some people were interested in someone writing on something, and I told him it would be okay to just submit my name, and of course, these people saw the writing that I did in the public media and contacted me and offered me a contract to write on this particular subject as an adjunct professor. The headquarters would be a university in Alaska. My book was written, I was given the option as a part of my contract after I submitted my work in June, it was between January and June the 21st, that my tenure would be over. And as long as I had my work in, I had the option. And, of course, I took advantage of the option and got my copy, my work copyrighted, a copy written, and a copyright was issued for my work. And, of course, you know, that's filed in the Library of Congress. And a very cooperative staff there in Washington
got
this information to me. And, of course, I submitted my book to a publisher, and the publisher published it. Now, I'm sure, as I have, being a clergy person, a pastor, for most of my adult life, well, for all of my adult life, I've been a pastor since I was about 20 years of age. I graduated from Morehouse young. Then I went to seminary, two seminaries. I went to Atlanta University before it became Clark Atlanta University, in the business school. Got a graduate degree, and then I got a graduate certification in healthcare management, and I managed and was instrumental in the building of the Martin Luther King Senior Nursing Home, which is non-existent at this time because the owner sold his rights to it. But I was instrumental in the administrative in the building and was licensed after a year's intern to administer this facility. I've had some blessings from God Almighty, and as I think about it on this birthday today, I have been given the opportunity to do a lot of things that would help me on this journey. One of the things that concerns Christians and non-Christians is the amount of, well, I don't want to point out, but in the Roman Catholic Church, you have a lot of misuse and abuse by clergy persons. And, of course, there have been claims, billions of dollars of claims settled by the Roman Catholic Church because of abuse of young men, in particular in the church. It's historic. And you're having a lot of situations in the Christian community where youth ministers get involved and even senior pastors get involved in a personal way that they should not with their members of their membership. And so this was interesting to do from a standpoint of us knowing. And the question comes with the title, New Creation in Christ. The scripture or the text for Christianity says, if any man be in Christ, or any woman or child be in Christ, he or she is a new creation. That they're given a new identity by what Christ has done, by ransoming us. And when he died on the cross and he got up from the grave and paid the sin debt that we owed. But the public has wondered whether there is a way to deal with the little bad things that we try to hush about the church.
So your book can help these young men?
What the book does, it gives biblical support to the fact that Christ can take any person who is addicted to anything wrong and make them new. Now, let me say that there's a faith proposition here. One has to acknowledge that he or she is wrong. Now, since we're talking about young male addiction,
yes,
this person would have to admit that he or she is wrong and accept Christ. Now, we are accused by the community, the gay and lesbian community and other communities, where you have abuse against improper behavior with members, of not being sensitive. Christ was sensitive. Christ was not a basher. Christ was not homophobic. Christ did not seek to make someone wear a scarlet letter.
No,
he wanted to make you a better person, a person able to function. Nobody is born a homosexual. Nobody is born a deviant. This is acquired. And when you acquire a newness in Christ, if you will follow the tenets that are taught. Now, if you look at the Old Testament, for instance, in the Bible, we can cite so many, Solomon, David, and so many men. And we've heard of Sodom and Gomorrah, the word sodomy, which is a word that we use to cite criminal behavior that is abnormal. The Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of the abnormal behavior. Now, this was in the old covenant, but after Christ came, Christ paid the ransom and the sin debt was forgiven. There is counseling to be given, but it has to be done by somebody who is capable and who is a Christian and who is interested in that person. And that person has to want to be counseled. You can't
so
rehabilitate
saying,
anybody. Yes, yes.
So you're saying that in order for a person to be helped, they have to want the help, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. You can't get healed of any addiction if you don't want to be helped. To heal an addiction, if you look at the root of the word or the beginning of the word, to be addicted means you are. It controls you. Now,
yes,
to get yourself to a point that you control that spirit in you that will make you do that, you have to accept Christ. It has to be a faith proposition. Believe that he is, and he is who he says and who he has proven to be. And then you must take up the task of following him.
Okay.
One of the processes is called regeneration. You have to be changed. Now, once you've been changed, you have to be cease. The scripture says it just thusly. The scripture tells you that the spirit guides and directs you. You give up lust of the flesh. Okay? These are lusts of the flesh.
I hope my I know my listeners are following you pretty closely too. What, in your opinion, you've been a counselor and you're a judge and all those things, what is considered to be sexual addiction? You talked about the Catholic Church. That is considered the molestation and the abuse of the children that went on in the Catholic Church. That is what you're talking about? That
was addiction, but you had it in all churches. You had it all, without regard to religious denomination.
Okay.
You hear more about it now, but you hear about allegedly outstanding preachers and clergy getting caught up in situations where they're guilty, and because of the addiction that is existing, they do something, and of course it becomes known by the public. But Christ can heal them of that addiction. He forgives. He saves.
And that's what the Christian counseling comes in at.
Yes.
Okay.
And you must give spiritual counseling. One thing, Christ was concerned, and he saw these persons like we've heard a story of the woman at the well. Christ told her, you had five husbands, and the one you're with is not yours. You know, and he spoke words of truth, not to put her down, but to pick her up, and he told her to go and sin no more. Now, if you follow that line from where he met with her, she was instrumental in when Christ died, she was one of the persons who was said to have dressed his physical body went to his where he was placed in the tomb.
Yes, to
prepare and put spices on his body. Now, Christ can change you from a miserable person groping in darkness into a not only a person of light, but you have a light that you can let shine and other persons can follow you. Now,
okay.
If the wolf breaks in the chicken coop, we're not going to make the wolf automatically the head of the chicken coop. But Christ, when you're forgiven by Christ, this forgiveness is a complete and thorough spiritual act. It is forgotten and not held against you.
So, Dr. Burns, in your opinion, do you believe that Christian counseling, spiritual counseling, is better for people in secular or modern counseling?
I think professional Christian counseling is effective, most effective.
Okay.
I think ministers in 2013 are trained and go to seminary. They not only learn a Bible story, they learn how to operate in the realm of the spirit. They learn how to operate with the public, how to be professional, and they're given certifications.
Okay.
Now, beside my graduating from Morehouse College and going to business school, going to school in healthcare, I went to two seminaries. I got a doctorate in theology. I'm certified as a Christian counselor. I'm certified as a marriage and family therapist. I'm certified as a psychometrist who can test. I worked under two of the most renowned, and I'd rather not give all that information because they didn't tell me to tell it tonight. But I worked in a counseling center, one of the better ones here in Atlanta. And the two gentlemen there served on the board of the state of Georgia. Now, one of them is a Christian minister. Both are practicing Christians, one in the Presbyterian Church and the other a Methodist. And he even calls himself a Baptist Methodist pastor, graduate of Duke Divinity School.
All right.
He's very renowned, very well known, and he is very knowledgeable.
All right. So what you're saying is the person has to be qualified to actually counsel someone and with sexual addiction. They have to be qualified. They have to know more than Bible verses. Is that what you're saying? They need to be educated.
Christ said in 2 Timothy, Christ said through the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Yes, sir.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Right.
Now, he didn't ask you to get up there and be a theo geek, but he wanted you to be intelligent. We're not just up there hollering in the pulpit, putting on a show, making people. The message is given to draw and drive. It's spiritual food. And the clergy person or the professional Christian counselor has been trained and certified. If you want to say it this way, Christ said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. But I'm going to tell you, when he chose a person that he wanted to spread the Christian idea, and this man just about entirely wrote the New Testament. He made the largest spiritual contribution, Apostle Paul, who was a Hellenistic Jew, a Jewish person who was a member of the Sanhedrin Council, a graduate of the University at Tarsus in his homeland. He was educated at the foot of Gamaliel, who was a doctor of the law. And Paul was a true Jewish member, but he was persecuting Christians. Christ converted him. He went and picked a man who had the best education running during that day and time, possibly the best. Paul could speak several languages fluently. As I said, he was a Hellenistic Jew. He spoke often proudly of his parentage. One thing Paul did, Paul didn't just stand up and say, God told me to say it. If he was given his opinion, he said quite clearly in his writings that I was not told to say this by Christ. This is my thought about that.
Okay.
But he spread the Christian idea throughout the world, and he traveled near and far spreading the Christian idea. And Christ's counsel, he met Christ on the road to Damascus. Christ found him, and he called him to his ministry.
And Paul, if I'm correct,
and changed his name to
murdered.
Paul. He changed his name.
He was not necessarily murdered, but on his way, he was trying to get rid of the Christians. Am I correct?
Destroy the Christian church. Yes, he had a commission.
Destroy the Christian church.
He had a commission from the Roman government.
And
he was on the way to Damascus to do it.
If Paul, whose name was changed to Saul, what you're saying
Saul's
is if Paul,
name was changed
whose name
to
was changed
Paul.
To Saul, could be changed, so can these men with the sexual addiction. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm not saying for the same reason that Saul was changed to Paul. I'm saying Christ saves and changes you. He makes you brand new.
Yes, sir.
Now, my feet, if your foot has a corn on it, a corn will still probably be there, but your spirit becomes new. Our old ancestors used to sing in their spirituals, I looked in my hands and they looked new. Well, those hands that were out there in that wood picking cotton, those hands looked the same. They had the same calluses and bunions and the like. But the spirituality on the inside, that mind, was under the influence of a power that is greater than any power.
He can heal.
He can heal. Christ can do it all. He can do anything but sin.
Yes. Is this your first book, Dr. Burns?
No, indeed.
No, indeed. You have other books.
Yes. I wrote doctoral dissertations. I've written other books. I wrote one in healthcare, Behind the Door. I've written articles in magazines I was called by a person once and asked to write an article that appeared in a magazine that we see on the newsstand each month, and write an article about how do you control conflict in the church.
Conflict, how do you control conflict in the church?
Yes.
Now, that sounds like it would be very interesting. All of your books sound like they would be very interesting.
They would be truth.
Truthful, too, yes,
they would be the truth that comes from God.
About the truth. All right.
I don't know how interesting they would be. The truth isn't always interesting to the transgressor. But they will make you free. The truth makes you free. It doesn't set you free. It remakes you, and you become free. That's what we mean by the concept of new identity in Christ. You are made over. And the scripture tells you every now and then that the potter saw a vessel that had been torn, and it pleased the potter to make it over again. Every now and then we have to go by the potter's house and be made over. It doesn't mean re-saved, but it means that he fixes our little cracking places. You don't become perfect. He wants us to achieve perfection. He wants us good, to be good. But Christ said, there is none good but the Father. You see, we couldn't be perfect because we are born in sin and created in iniquity. He makes us a new creature in him.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, he does. Yes, God does.
And it must be a faith proposition. And like you had the ruler Nicodemus to go to Christ by night, call him rabbi and call him a lot of highfalutin names. And Nicodemus was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a member of Pharisee. Like Paul was a member of the Sanhedrin Council. He was a Pharisee. He came by night so he wouldn't be seen. You know, and Jesus told him what it would take for him to become a follower of his, a true follower. And he said, he presented some things, and Nicodemus said, all these things I've done from my youth. But Christ told him, you must be born again. How can I be born again when I'm old? Can I enter again into my mother's womb? Christ told him to sell all you have and pick up your assignment and follow me.
So,
and sell all you have. And he let Nicodemus know unconditionally it was not a situation he could negotiate. When you go in Christ, you don't get, now I have a certificate to do mediation, but you don't go into a mediation session with Christ. It's, we give a little and take a little. You must be born again is what he told Nicodemus. You must
so this
be.
Is what Christian counseling is all. What Christian counseling is all about. You take scriptures from the Bible, Dr. Burns.
You take truth.
Take truth in Christian
and
the Bible.
A spiritual revelation.
Spiritual revelation.
God reveals to us.
Okay.
Now, one thing I like to show people is the Apostle Paul, 60 years after the. After the resurrection of Christ, he wrote about 55 to 62 years after Christ. But the Bible tells you very clearly when Lazarus, Jesus' earthly friend, when his sisters called, Mary and Martha called to say that Lazarus had died, and Jesus was delayed in getting there. He got there, and they wanted to, you know, kind of harangue Jesus for getting there.
Okay.
If you'd gotten here earlier, our brother wouldn't have died. And when Christ saw where Lazarus was, the Bible says two things about him. You got the shortest verse in the Bible that says Jesus wept. Now, the Bible says another thing. It said he groaned in the spirit. Now, nowhere else do you find that until Paul says it later. He says the spirit, when you can't pray for yourself, when you can't speak on behalf of yourself, the spirit prays for you with groanings, and Christ interprets them for the Father. He understands all my groans and says, Father, this is what he means. But Christ himself, as the man Christ, when he wept at his friend being dead, he groaned in the spirit.
Okay.
And then he brought him to life. He raised him from the dead.
All right. In your book, you address all this, all of the things going on in the world, but you combine it with, not all the things, but with the sexual addictions that the men have. You combine it in your book with Bible verses and truth.
With Bible truth and Bible wisdom.
Bible
and
truth.
And spiritual truth.
Okay, spiritual
mm-hmm.
truth.
Mm-hmm.
So your purpose for writing this book was not just because you were asked to write, but it's because you feel like there was a need to have such a publication out there with all because of all that is going on in the world.
Well, I was asked to do it, but I saw a need for it being done. And there is a need for it.
I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to ask, the sexual addiction, it's not just in the churches. It's everywhere. I mean.
Sure it is.
It's everywhere. It's not just with children either. It's with men.
Addiction. It's men and women. You have, you've got sexual addiction. Period.
We just kind of
get in on young males because that's who your largest transgressors are. The largest group of transgressors in that area.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
But there are women who have sexual addictions too, but that's not what we're here to talk about tonight.
Certainly. That isn't what I wrote about. But I can intelligently discuss it, but it would defeat our purpose here. We're talking about.
Yes, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. Do you think that in this time period, January 2013, that this is more prevalent in this time period than it was back, let's say, 20 years ago? Is it worse now than it was then?
No.
It's not?
No.
No. Okay.
You have more areas of media. You didn't have any blog, radio. You didn't have any TV. You didn't have the internet. You didn't have ways of finding out about it. It existed, certainly. And it was known that it existed. But you didn't have as many sophisticated ways of getting the news around.
So what you believe is that it's always happened.
The Bible will tell you in the Old Testament, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yes, sir.
Because he gave them a chance. He said, bring me one who is not guilty, and I'll spare the city. Bring me two. Bring me. They couldn't find one in the city. He destroyed. He let Abraham's nephew Lot. He told him to leave and for his family not to look back. You know, but all.
So you're saying it's the same today.
All humankind have sinned and fallen short.
Fall short of the glory of God.
Uh-huh.
So this time period is similar to that in Sodom and Gomorrah.
Well, you have more individuals, I would assume, and with more, you have more. Okay, more people means more sin. And you've got a stubbornness that didn't exist as much then as it does now. You have more opportunities to sin, you know, but there always has been child abuse. There's been bestiality, you know. Other areas of addiction other than just human, there was bestiality, and it's talked about in the Bible.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
But many who were counseled by Christ became champions of the faith. The Lord called David a man after his own heart.
But he was restored.
He was restored to fellowship.
All right.
He suffered until he died. But he was restored. Solomon sinned. God smiled on Solomon and let him build that temple because Solomon asked for wisdom. But then he tried to be too wise. He he had all those wives and concubines and even princesses, small young women, womankind, little girls, that he was misbehaving with.
I did not know that. Thank you for telling, informing me. I did not know that.
Scripture says it directly.
Yes, sir.
That's why every time I open the Bible, it can be a passage I've read for years and studied for years, but something new pops out at me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So do you believe that we still talking about young men who commit these acts? Do you believe that medication would help them also, along with the Christian counseling, or just plain Christian counseling?
What better medicine can you receive? Of course, Christ said a well man needs no physician, which suggests that he believed in physicians. But the thing that needs to be cured, God is a great physician. The Spirit is a great physician, a great healer, you see. If you want true healing, and now I'm not going to disagree with scientists, because I go to all my doctors. I see about 3 or 4 specialists to make sure I stay healthy. I run, keep my weight down. Eat a good diet, not perfect, but pretty good. And I'm pretty slim. I haven't always been.
All right. So the title of your book is, Dr. Burns, is The Use of the Concept of New Identity in Christian Counseling, Sexual Addiction, in Young Men.
No, the use of the concept of
new identity
in Christ. In Christ.
Okay.
In counseling sexual addiction in young men.
Yes, sir. Where can the listeners go to find your book? Go to buy your book?
Okay, our website is www.chcbc.org. It gives some addresses. Let me not give these two. There are two major bookstores that they're going to be, the book will be offered in after mid-February. You can look at your Barnes & Noble and your stores like that. Walmart. Some local ones here in Atlanta. Some local ones possibly in Houston, Texas. But if you go to that website, www.chcbc.org, it will direct you.
I believe what you said, that the sexual addiction hasn't increased any. It's just because of the new technology.
Oh, it's increased.
People are hearing about it more and more.
It's increased because you have more people, but we can hear more about it because technological advances. Please excuse me.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Dr. Burns, I thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler.
It's a pleasure to come on, Miss Angela.
Okay.
And
I've
been a good way to spend my birthday.
All right. And happy birthday again. I look forward to having you back. Is there anything else you would like to say that you feel hasn't been covered?
This book needs to be in every home in this country.
All right.
And we want to say that.
Okay. Well, thank you, Dr. Burns. I also like to ask you, if you're not comfortable answering this question, you don't have to, of course. You're also a member of President Barack Obama's kitchen cabinet. Have you been?
Yes.
Are you still a member for this coming up term of President Barack Obama's?
I haven't been told any different. I renewed my membership in Democratic National Committee.
Okay.
I still get the same calls, and no, I don't have any intention of changing.
All right.
I worked too hard to help this man win. I worked hard.
I believe you did. I believe you have. And God's going to bless you for it. He's already blessed you.
He blessed me with letting me have a president who is up to the task and who believes that he needs God to guide him as he does this humongous but yet honorable task. God has called President Barack Obama a Baruch, as his name is in the Jewish, in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, it's pronounced Baruch, B-A-R-U-C-H. God has called him to be president of the United States. And God tells us in Romans, the 13th chapter, and we should read it, how you follow the leadership of a person that he anoints and he has blessed with a leadership position. The powers that be, it says, are of God. Thank you so much, Ms. Angela Butler.
Okay, I just have one question. Okay, I just have one final question.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't feel comfortable answering, of course, you know you don't have to. Do you ever counsel the spiritual counsel, the president, or any of his staff?
No.
No? Okay. All right.
I might get to that point.
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Burns, for coming on the show. I really appreciate you coming on.
One of his supporters and friends and a congressman, I was happy to receive a birthday salutation from my college classmate, a fraternity brother, Congressman Sanford Bishop. Thank you, Sanford Bishop.
Okay. This is your birthday, and I hope you have the rest of the night, a great birthday for the rest of the night, and I hope you've had a good birthday all through the day.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Dr. Burns.
Okay. Have a good evening.
You too.
All right.
Listeners, have a good night. Listeners, we've had on the show tonight Dr. Walter Burns. He's the pastor at Christian Home Community Church. He is also a member of President Barack Obama's kitchen cabinet. He was appointed by the official commission in 2009, if I'm not mistaken, President Barack Obama's administration. He also has a book, as you were hearing, about sexual addiction, where he addresses sexual addiction in young men. And he spoke, as you noticed, a lot on the Bible and about God and Jesus. And that's what Christian counseling is all about. It's circular and modern counseling doesn't normally focus on God. But Dr. Burns has did this type of work for many years, and he's more than qualified to speak on the subject. So I hope you go out and purchase this book, because it will be a big help to those of you who are trying to figure out what's going on, you know, the use of the concept of new identity in Christian counseling, sexual addiction in young men. It's by Dr. Walter Burns. All right, listeners, I thank you for listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. I look forward to having you back tomorrow night. Thank you very much. Good night.